The Beatitudes that we just heard are an antidote to the world in which we live. They describe states of being that frankly don't really coincide with what we see around us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek and the merciful. Blessed are those who mourn and those who hunger for righteousness. Blessed are the pure and the peacemakers, the persecuted and reviled. Obviously, Jesus is subverting what the world deems laudable: power, success, and self-regard. I would hope that anyone who steps through the doors of a church, or at least this church, would know by now that God doesn't think much of your accomplishments if they don't bring more love into the world. It's that simple. God doesn't think much of your accomplishments if they don't bring more love into the world. That's the message in today's three readings. And I've tried so hard in the past to try to extract deeper meanings from the Beatitudes and from Micah's proclamation in the first reading of what God requires, and from Paul's discourse on God's foolishness, because I imagined that there were hidden messages, deeper meanings behind these words, but no, they are simple and direct. I also used to think the Beatitudes were a list of lessons telling us how to behave if we wanted to get to heaven. Well, you must be meek, poor in spirit, merciful, peacemaking, and persecuted for the kingdom of heaven to be yours. But that's not quite right. This is not a checklist at the pearly gates. Most biblical commentaries that I have read insist that these phrases, these Beatitudes, are not written in the Greek imperative form, as in, do these things and you will become blessed. No, they are written in the indicative mode, meaning, I'm just telling you what is true. I am indicating whom God has chosen to be blessed. I am letting any of you who fall into these categories also know that God favors you. That's just the way it is. And Jesus implies that those who don't practice such ways of being have work to do. The pastoral theologian Charles James Cook suggests three principles to follow for living into the spirit of the Beatitudes: simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion. Again, not usually what the world looks like. Life is not simple. It's complicated. But we can choose to ground ourselves in simplicity, to take these Beatitudes to heart, and to try to view the world through them. Rather than trying to rationalize away our misbehavior or our turning away from others in their need, which we do at times, let us simply admit that we have not been merciful or pure in heart, and commit to doing better next time. 'Tis a gift to be simple, goes the song, but it's a difficult gift to master. What does mercy and meekness look like in the face of three mass shootings in California within a week? What does mercy and meekness look like in light of all the senseless slaughter? How do we hunger and thirst for righteousness and not revenge? Such passivity on our parts would seem foolish. And that's where Paul comes in. He writes in today's epistle, has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Christ on the cross is the God we follow, meek, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, and persecuted. How strange that we have that cross up there every week. While it's not hard to see how good Jesus was, how loving, what is hard is to understand why that is salvation. I am reminded of a song written in the early 90s by Andy Preboy of a band called Wall of Voodoo. The song is called Tomorrow Wendy, and it's an angry song. It was penned after the death of a dear friend from AIDS, and the third verse has always haunted me. It's kind of intense, but I read it to you now. It feels appropriate. I told the priest, don't count on any second coming. God got his ass kicked the first time he came down here slumming. He had the balls to come, the gall to die, and then forgive us. No, I don't wonder why. I wonder what he thought it would get us. Hey, hey, goodbye. Tomorrow Wendy's going to die. When I am in despair over the latest tragedy, or cop beating, or warmongering, or child shooting, I feel like these lyrics are what's really true. What did he think it would get us, this crucifixion, this persecution for righteousness' sake? I'm not sure I have an answer, except for this little one. Whether or not the Beatitudes are true, whether or not you believe Christ crucified is salvation, we have a choice. We can see the world through a lens of despair or through a lens of love, of simplicity, hopefulness, and compassion. And that choice is always before us every day, an abyss tempting us to give in and jump, even as our fingertips cling to the crumbling rock behind us. How will you choose to make your way through life? I mean, that's what faith is. To cling to the cross of salvation, believing that ours will be the kingdom of heaven, that we will be comforted and inherit the earth. We will be filled and receive mercy and see God and be called God's children. And it can be so hard to take this stance when so much of the world is violence and jeering and power and murder and fear and self-regard. Maybe that's why the Beatitudes need to be so direct, so that there is no confusion about what God values. Maybe that's why Micah had to spell it out so clearly, so that there could be no room for equivocating. What does the Lord require of you but that you do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God? How much simpler can it get than that? Do justice. Two words. Do it. Or at the very least, don't be on the side of injustice. Love kindness. Respect people who are kind. Don't roll your eyes. And don't be unkind. You know when you're being that way. And don't assume that kindness has a political party either. That's hard for me to say. And walk humbly with your God. Every day, check in with Jesus. Know that you are not accomplishing any of it on your own. Christ sends help. God sends fortitude. The Holy Spirit sends courage. Now, I am not a wise man. I'm certainly not a theologian. My faith is weak. My spirit flags. But I can tell you this one thing. With a powerful voice. How you live in the world matters. How you choose to care for others or not matters to God, to Jesus, and to your neighbor. So whether you see the Beatitudes as one of the loveliest expressions of our faith, all pretty and tied up in a bow, and then disregard them, whether you see them as a promise that your continual attempts to manifest simplicity and hopefulness and compassion in your life will one day bring you heaven, or whether you take the Beatitudes as a challenge to not give in to the despair and chaos of this life, but instead to cling to those ways of being that God deems precious and has told us so, and then strive to pattern your life after them. Whether you do any one of those three things, the choice is yours.